نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge on Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I add good example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ Uswatun Hasana. Indeed, you have in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the perfect, the most perfect example. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his lifestyle, how he lived, how he walked, how he talked, how he communicated, in every aspect was a teacher by his example, by his personality, by the way how he acted in front of the believers. And this is teaching us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not a person who only talking, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given also example by his lifestyle, the way how he conducted himself, the way he acted, the way how he lived. In everything, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was example. And his wives understood this. As a result of this, they related to us what they had observed in their houses, which me and you could not see it. Not Mu'adh, not Anas, not Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira was always sitting there by the member of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, day and night, 24/7, dedicate himself. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something, right away he memorizes, he writes it. But there is other things Abu Huraira didn't see it. Aisha, Hafsa, other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had observed it, and they came to told us about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did and how did he act. As a result of this, they telling us, وَكَانَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ فِي مِهْنَةِ أَهْلِهِ. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to assist his families, his wives, in the chore of the houses. Nobody saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam washing dishes or milking the goat. He didn't see what's behind the curtain. But those who saw and lived this example, they observed it, they brought this information for us. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made other means for us besides audio classes and lecturing. He gave other means of a video, means of observing and seeing, not only audio, but sometimes audio and sometimes it's video, sometimes audio visual. That means the Prophet will say, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Sometimes he will say, whosoever believes in Allah, let him say something good or be quiet. So this is audio. This is words. But we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he acted. He stood up in the night prayer in tahajjud. The night prayer, حَتَّى تَوَرَّمَتْ قَدَمَاهُ وَبَكَى مِنْ خَشَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى حَتَّى ابْتَلَّتْ لِحْيَتَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up in night prayer where he was in his house. He was not in the mosque, because he says the most rewarded prayer is the prayer that you pray in your house with exception of the obligatory. He told us, don't make your house like a grave. Read Quran in your house. Make the sunnah prayer in your house. Who saw this? Those who lived inside. And they transferred this video vision to the community by audio, like Aisha and others. Therefore, our example is very important. The same way the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, they were in need to see a lifestyle. A man like them, he eats like them, he walks like them, he walks like them, he speaks like them, but he shows them how to sleep, how to walk, how to behave. When this Bedouin man come and grab him by his shirt and say, oh Muhammad, give me from the money that you got, this is not your money, this is the trust that Allah gave you, how did the Prophet act? So now we see the example, how he controlled his anger, how he was patient. So the same thing, my dear respected brothers and sisters, we have the new generation, the growing, the few children that you see in front of you here, among you, sitting among us, you also need a life example. They need to see with their eyes something called Islam. Not only somebody come in khutbah al-Jum'ah and preach Islam. The absence of seeing life example, the absence of having a life example in front of the new generation is so dangerous, and it's bad and inhabiting in many communities and many countries. When we observe the deen, we see many things talks about the example. And even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهِ. Indeed, you have the most perfect example of the Prophet Ibrahim and those who believe with him. When they separated themselves from their community, like the people of the cave, like many other stories. So with something that they, Allah say, example, watch, observe, see. Look, another example. When Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came in two ways to give a lesson, in two ways. One is the audio, one is the sound, one is the word. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Akhbirni 'an al-Islam. What is Islam, Muhammad? What is Islam? Tell me what is Islam." This was a audio, this was a sound, this was verbally, this was words. But look, when is the hadith been reported in the beginning? If we pay attention, we found there is a double lesson in this hadith. What is the second lesson? بينما نحن جلوس عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ دخل علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد. فجلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع يديه على فخذيه وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام. عمر إسرين هو was sitting in a gathering with the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. A man came. What is the description of this man? Pay attention now. Because the Sahaba observing everything happening. And they reported to us. He said, white clothes, and it's so white. He said what? Thawb. He didn't say shirt. He didn't say pants. He didn't say suit. He didn't say tie. He didn't say hat. He even described, he didn't say izar. He said, شديد بياض الثياب. He said that no impact on his clothes as a traveler, because the traveler have dust, they have all the things from traveling. It's clean, man. So this is the appearance. The second thing he said, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, folding his legs, not stretching his legs in front of the teacher. What kind of a student is this? What kind of a teacher is this? But he said he came and he folded his legs, crossed legs. He put his knees to his knees and he put his hands on his lap. This what you call teaching through example. Our children, our future generation are observing us. And if we are not going to be a good example for them, if we are not showing them some of Islam in our behavior, in our daily life, what kind of Islam they going to know about it? They're going to carry the sound, audio sound, nothing else. It's going to be like another tape recorder saying Islam. They don't see Islam. And like I said, a person been said to another scholar, so and so has memorized Al-Bukhari. So and so has memorized Sahih Al-Bukhari. So he said, now we have additional copy of Al-Bukhari. Books, adding books. So you have two books in your library, so and so memorized Bukhari, so does not mean anything going to change in our life because he memorized Bukhari. But he's not living part of the Al-Bukhari collection. It's not going to do too much in our life, my brothers. We are responsible, me and you, as imams, as adults, as a father, as a mother, as a parent, that we set the life example of Islam in front of our own children. Because the limited time of Khutbat al-Jum'ah, I would like to focus about few things. Because this subject is so big, how we set ourselves example to our children, to our Muslims, new generation, that some of them attend Jum'ah, because the majority of the Muslims' youth, they don't come to Jum'ah. And you can see the example. One of the masajid here, one of the cities here, you can observe. See who's here in Jum'ah. You're a child who is 17 or 16 years old, then don't tell me that he's not baligh. Don't tell me that he didn't reach the age of al-hilm or that puberty. He is already a man. Your child that is in high school, he is already a man. I.e., if he gets married, he can pregnant a woman. He can become a father. So this a child, what you call a child, is already according the Sharia law is responsible about the halal and the haram and any act that he's doing. So when your son is not in Jum'ah, why? Because he's in school. What kind of a school if you are not taking the school of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why? Now let's see some examples. If the Muslims adults, when they come to Jum'ah, I'm only talking about things happening in the mosque. Like I said, the subject is so big. But if we observe it and see what's happening in our life, maybe we are not paying attention, but it is danger. It is almost a destruction for the new generation about what is Islam in reality. Islam in lifestyle. Islam in our daily practice. When the adults who heard the khutbah many, many, many times, and after this when they reach to the mosque, they sit down. No two rak'ah tahiyyat al-masjid. What kind of example? There is few children sitting here observing. While their teacher or the principal of the school keeps telling them, when you enter the mosque, make two rak'ah. This what is the teacher telling him. This is what the principal telling him. But every time he see these tens and hundreds of Muslims, most of them when they come, right away they sit. Number two, where they sit? Again is the wall and the whole mosque is open. Or they go upstairs while downstairs is still empty. What kind of examples that we're giving? Brothers, look to something simple. And I know it's not obligatory, but at least the minimum, it is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's the tradition of Jibreel when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did you ever in your life wear a soap since you've been in America? A qamis. كان أحب الثياب إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم القميص. حبيب move the chair please and sit there. Did you ever wear a qamis? This is what you call a qamis, okay? Not the shirt that you're wearing under your suit. This, according to the Islamic tradition, this was called qamis. This was the most beloved kind of clothes to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he recommended the white. Brother, he make a khutbah, it's not a big deal, you understand? If I don't wear a soap, I'm not a Muslim. I didn't say so. But how do you go to your meeting, brother? Can you attend a meeting without a tie? A business meeting? Can you? You as a professional person, can you attend a meeting without a tie? Can you tell me what the significance of a tie? Can you tell me what is the tradition of the tie? Why we so restricted about this? But when we come to our weekly feast, no big thing. But you never, as a father or as a teacher, you wear a soap. Do you have something again in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How do you celebrate your Eid? Forget about Jum'ah. Can you come once or twice a year wearing a soap and a kufi, try to imitate the Sahaba Jum'ah? You don't know there is little kids watching you. They already know that my father, my neighbor, my uncle, he doesn't come until 10 minutes before 2, because the Salah is supposed to be at 2 o'clock. It's no big deal about Jum'ah. What we plan today is the fruit of tomorrow. These children that we are not giving them example about the sunnah. I'm not even talking about the fard yet. If we are not going to show them at least that once in my lifetime, since I've been in America, I wear a soap, because dad, what it is? Son, this was the Prophet used to wear. Oh, the Prophet, you love the Prophet? Yes, all of us love the Prophet and would like to be like the Prophet. Did you ever your son see with the soap coming early for Jum'ah? I want to tell you one process. One of the things we tried to discipline our children in this mosque. When you come to the mosque, don't disturb the people who make salah. By Allah, standing in the house of Allah, somebody be standing in the wudu area, we're talking about adults now, 40, 45, 50 years old, talking with another brother as if he giving lecture. I am here trying to make my salah or give my class, and I disturb by him talking there. Allah said, إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير. The worst kind of voices is the voice of the donkey. How a Muslim can be talking like this? You are not giving a lecture. You are only talking to another brother making wudu. Why? One, two, three rooms, and they still hear you. When we teach our children, make two rak'at when you enter the mosque. When our children come running on the plane and leaving their shoes in the shoe area, not in the shoe shelf. You know why? Because we did not set ourselves as a good example for them. You think you'll be shaving your beard every day and your son going to grow your beard? You think you're going to be smoking cigarette and your son is not going to be smoking cigarette? He is going to smoke it, but he maybe does not smoke it in front of you. But we have to understand, brothers, why Allah is saying لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Because Allah set a man to be example for us. So the followers always looking for the leader, how he presents himself in front of his community. And this is reflection, like looking in the mirror, you see yourself. So your son and the other child that is not your son, he is observing you. Now when some people, adults, inside the musalla, and some brothers still making sunnah, and they standing in the musalla, talking, chatting, laughing, is no problem. But does this man have a right? How you can disturb him? Do you know disturbing the musalla even with the Quran? لا يجهر بعضكم على بعض بالقراءة. Don't raise your voice over each other, even with the recitation of the Quran. Don't disturb each other. This man who is making sunnah, he has a right. We have a reception area. We have a big ground outside, alhamdulillah. Why always have to be the discussion and the laughing and the giggling inside the musalla? What kind of example? And now, say, child, be quiet. Yes, he's telling him, be quiet. But he see other two adults standing there, talking, laughing, raising their voice. What kind of example we're giving to our children? Sister, when you come with no headpiece, or you take a headpiece and you put it in the car, so when you enter the mosque, out of respect, not for the mosque, because you're scared from the imam. We know this sister, I heard a lot about these stories, okay? Because you don't want the imam to tell you or embarrass you. So when you get out of the car, you bought this so-called khimar. So-called khimar. And the moment you get in the car, you're taking it. And you're bringing your children to the weekend Islamic school. What they see? What they observe? That is temporary hijab. It's something only because this man, so-called imam, always fasting on us. They don't know that this is what Allah command you. Do you think your daughter, when she grow up, she's going to put hijab when she leave her house? By no means. Most of them, 95%, they will carry the hijab with them if they have a harsh imam, okay, or tough imam in the mosque, and have them nerve to talk to them about hijab, they will do the same thing. They will take the hijab, put it beside them in the car, and when they step outside, they put it. When they get out, they put it back in the car, and this. Brothers, now let's go back to hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. بينما نحن جلوس عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ دخل علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب. شديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر، لا يعرف منا أحد. فجلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع يديه على فخذيه. So how did Jibril came? He came in white clothes. How did he came? Not with sirwal, not with رداء and إزار. He came in ثوب. فإن قميص أحب the most dearest clothes to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Can we try to practice the tradition of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم for the sake of teaching our children sometimes? How we sit as a student of knowledge. He folded his legs. He put his hand in his knees. Respect for the teacher. So we have to understand from this hadith not only what is the arkan of Islam and Iman Ihsan, we need to learn the adab, the appearance, how you look like a Muslim. There is nothing wrong to look like Muslim. There is nothing wrong to look like Muslim. And if you think you're hiding yourself from the FBI, you're totally mistaken. I will tell you one thing. They know what day you enter this country, how many years you've been in this country, what doctor you went to, what bank you're dealing with. And they give you files and files and files about things. By Allah, maybe you forgot about it. They know about you more than yourself. So what are you hiding from what? Is the FBI forbidding you to grow your beard? Is the FBI forbidding you that you wear a soap sometimes? Is the FBI forbidding you that you come to Jum'ah in time? It's our own weakness. We don't want to be recognized as Muslims. It's not the FBI, it's me and you. We don't want to be acknowledged by the society as Muslims. We don't want somebody to say, excuse me, I don't mean to be personal, but what this you wearing in your head? Brother, this is your start. Yes, this is a kufi, this and that, you try to give him da'wah. You already start your da'wah session with this person because he's curious why you look different. Why you look different? He, no, brother, we don't want to look different. Why not? Everybody else look different. And even if you did not put a soap or a kufi or a beard, they can look your face. They know that you are not originally from this country. Even if you're born here, you know. They know it. Okay? So I don't know who you're hiding from. What you're so concerned about everything, but you're not concerned about your feast, your Eid, your mosque. So brothers, again, limited time, and the long story short. Try to watch the signals that you're giving to the children, regardless if they are their sons and daughters or the other Muslim children. Your behavior, your example, the way how you talk, the way how you act, all these things is been observed by the children. And know something, I said, know something, that these children, the young children like you, I said, is worse than a magnet. Like this TV, what you call this audio visual tapes, as soon you record something, it takes it right away. And you play it, you see it exactly. If you did like this, or you, anything, it will record it like this. Children are observing us. Their memory, they are not talking about the wife or the children, how I support them. They have a clear mind. They are not worried about too much like me and you. So anything they see it, is recorded. So let's watch how we act, because we are a teacher. You accept this or refuse it. By your action, you are a teacher, but you're giving a silent signal to those children. So try to give the right signal. Show them something about the adab, the akhlaq, the behavior, how we talk with each other, how we sit in front of the teacher, how we come to the mosque, how to do all these things, how we're supposed to be together, not to understand when we come, one here and one there and one there. Why we don't sit together? Why we don't communicate together? They observing us. So let's be a good example for our children, especially when we come to the mosque at least. And finally, please don't smoke cigarette on the property of the mosque. And ask Allah to help you that not to be as a brother of the shaitan. Because Allah said إن المبذرين كانوا إخوان الشياطين. Those who are spendthrift, those who waste their money are the brother of the devil. So when you burning the cigarette, you are not burning the cigarette only, you burning a 10 cent, 15 cent, 20 cent, plus you burning your health. And when you go outside by the basketball yard or whatever goal, and he's smoking the cigarette there, because the imam usually goes this way, he doesn't come this way, there is some children seeing you. And if they did not see you, when we clean the yard, we see all the cigarette packs on the ground. So what kind of signal we give it to our children? So please, brothers and sisters, the subject is bigger than khutbah, and I have to limit it for the time. So try to watch how we behave in front of our youngest, because we are responsible about the future generation and those young children. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salli wa sallim ala mab'uthi rahmatil alameen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. Brothers, this is a small announcement. This is not a business announcement. Last week we announced about the Islamic calendar, and mashallah, you clean it in 5 minutes. And some sisters as well, some brothers also, they feel upset that we don't have enough. Right away after Jum'ah, I got in the phone, I ordered it. So we have about 50 copies more. And we're asking you at least minimum $5 donation. We're going to send it to this relief organization, Life. We are not making business. This you can help the orphan and the misfortune Muslims, inshallah. So we have more Islamic calendar. Today we're distributing some CDs, and we have 35 titles today available outside. Brother Yasser will be there. And please, when you take a CD, one CD only for the family. Okay? Not the wife and the child and the husband. One CD for the family. But we ask you kindly fill the survey. You need to fill the survey. Help the da'wah. We are not asking you money. We ask you to take 1 minute. By Allah, if he fills this, it's not going to take more than 1 minute. It will take less than a minute. We make it blocks that you can do like this. Okay? Mark it. Okay? Because I know you're so busy. We want to know the quality of the tape, the quality of the speech, all these things. Should we give us comments what we're supposed to do? We're giving it for free. Alright? We're distributing today approximately 200 CDs. We have 35 titles. Okay? We are not asking you for the money. But by the way, if you want to put some money so we can keep doing this, you can do so. Give it to Brother Yas. And yes, sir, make sure you practice the sunnah, you will get better than what you lost. Anybody remember I talked about it last week? About Umm Salama, when she lost her husband, and she got better than Abu Salama, is it? She married the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet came to ask her if she married him. I told you about this hadith. To some of you, it's not a big deal. One brother out of the whole community came ask me, brother, where I find the hadith? Okay? I don't know anybody that doesn't lose anything. Even if you lose your shoe, you should say the dua. You will get better than. If you want, brothers, you pay money for insurance. Okay? But I'm giving you something better than insurance. Because insurance always can give you money. But I get to know something about this community, mashallah. Or at least I assume it, so I don't want to be mistaken. That anything is for free, you don't care too much. So I made one copy for the brother about the hadith. I will give it to him for free. This is the dua. When you lose something, you say it. Okay? If you believe in what the Prophet saying, okay? But you go make a test, let's test what the imam saying. It doesn't work like this. I'm going to give him this copy for free because he show concern. He want to learn it. And I made extra 10 copies. If you want a copy, you need to put $5 in the charity box. This is the deal from now on. Because when we put a price on something, people will ask. And guess what? And maybe next Jum'ah, inshallah, I will tell you about something. And if you want the dua, you need $50. I'm not going to give it less than $50. I mean it. I'm not playing. Okay? So we can start to care about this. I give classes for free, sometimes I have one student. But when you go to USC, you know how much you're paying for your course. And you know what time you have to be there. But for my khutbah, you can come anytime. We have to start to deal with money. Everything money, this is the way how you respect things, we're going to start to talk about money. And I guarantee you, I'm not going to put the money in my pocket. You put it in the charity box and tell me, Imam, I put the $5, I need the hadith, I will give you the hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and strengthen our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. $50. I mean it. I'm not lying. Okay? So we can start to care about this. I give classes for free. Sometimes I have one student. But when you go to USC, you know how much you're paying for your course. And you know what time you have to be there. But for my khutbah, you can come anytime. We have to start to deal with money. Everything money, this is the way how you respect things, we're going to start to talk about money. And I guarantee you, I'm not going to put the money in my pocket. You put it in the charity box and tell me, Imam, I put the $5, I need the hadith, I will give you the hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and strengthen our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.